We are a wilderness people. We've been liberated from the Egyptian bondage of sin and death by the greater Moses, who goes by the name Jesus of Nazareth, and are now, even here this very morning, a wilderness people in a spiritual pilgrimage on our way to the eternal promised land of God Almighty. And whenever you go on a long trip, you need things to sustain you. Back in the old days, people used to actually pack food for trips. There weren't as many restaurants and wayside stops. There were no Buc-ee's back in the day. Nowadays, we don't worry about food and drink and where the restrooms might be. Now we just worry about our playlists. And especially, though, when you take a road trip, even to this day, if you have young children involved, you definitely take account of how to feed and entertain them for the 12 hours set before you. For most of human history, probably up until the advent of railroads, almost anyone taking a substantial journey had to think about how they would eat and drink and sustain themselves in the miles to come. After breathing, there's probably nothing more fundamental than eating and drinking. They are our constant daily needs. We attended them multiple times a day. We eat and we drink to survive, and so it has always been. Even before the fall in the garden of God, the fruit of the trees, with one notable exception, the fruit was given to the first humans explicitly as their food. And out of the ground, the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. That's how it began. And God put man in the garden to work and to keep it. The Lord commanded them, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, except for the knowledge of the tree of good and evil you shall not eat." The necessity of eating and drinking constantly reminds us that we do not possess life within ourselves. We are dependent. If we stop eating and drinking, we die. We must continually take something into ourselves to survive. We simply cannot will our existence. We cannot maintain our existence through the strength of our own power. We cannot wish it simply to be so. Part of the challenge, I think, of living in a culture of overwhelming abundance is that you and I have never known even the legitimate fear of famine or drought. For to be quite honest, no melodramatic exaggeration here, none of us have ever seriously had to contemplate having nothing to eat or drink. We just get bored of what we have to eat or drink. Israel in the wilderness, however, was in a different situation. Israel in the wilderness complained and grumbled against God on her journey to her promised land for the apparent lack of food and water. In Exodus chapter 16, the whole congregation of the people grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in Egypt, where we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out, Moses, into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." To which the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I'm about to rain bread from heaven to you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not." For they were told not to take more than they needed, and yet some of them did, and it bred worms, because they refused to trust in Moses and what God had revealed through Moses, that day by day, God would sustain them on their journey. When received in fear, not in distrust of further future provision, or nor stolen away in greed, there was in the wilderness for Israel the simple and humble abundance of as much as each could eat, what one needed provided each day. The giving of the manna was the original, "Give us this day our daily bread," after the fall. And by the same token, just a page later in Exodus chapter 17, then the people wondered about what they would drink in the wilderness. Even after God had miraculously provided the bread from heaven, the food of angels, as the psalmist later calls it, the people of Israel moved on into the wilderness of Tzin, and they camped at Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. And so the people now quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And so the Lord said in another great and staggering miracle, Pass on before the people. Take with you some of the elders. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. And behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the quarreling of the people, because they now tested the Lord by saying, is the Lord among us or not? But I ultimately go back to Psalm 78, where sometime down the road, the psalmist poetically described the spiritual realities of that lack of faith, of that doubt in God's provision. When he put it this way in Psalm 78 and verse 18, that they tested God in their heart by demanding the food they craved. And they spake against God, saying, can God spread a table in the wilderness? And so he struck the rock so that the water gushed out and streams overflowed. Can he also give bread or provide meat for his people, they asked. Therefore, when the Lord heard, he was full of wrath. A fire was kindled against Jacob. His anger rose against Israel because they did not believe in God and did not trust in his saving power. God tests us even as we, in a sense, test him. That's the nature of the journey. Moses ultimately remembered this period at the end of his life in Deuteronomy in chapter 8, when he spoke about the reality of God's table in the wilderness this way. And you shall remember that the whole way the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And so he humbled you and let you go hungry, and then fed you with manna, which you did not know that your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. We do not sustain ourselves. And even when we grow our own crops and slaughter our own animals and cook our own food and set our own tables, for it is God that created that and us. It is ultimately always God who prepares a table, even when we doubt in the weakness of our faith. And so Moses reminds the people of his generation just before they went in the land, God it is who always provides. And it is God who is always testing you, whether you will look to him in humble dependence or whether you will grab greedily and untrustingly into the famine-laden world around us. And so a millennium and a half later, Jesus, John's gospel, makes clear to the children of Abraham and his generation what it all really meant. He reminds them in John chapter 6 and verse 32, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. And a little bit later in that same chapter, he goes on to explain what in the world he was talking about when he says in the beginning of verse 53, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. As the doctors constantly remind us today, we are what we eat. And what God wants to remind us is that we are more than what we physically eat. That what we take into our heart and our souls, what we feed upon, the words and the images, the movies and the music, the books that we read, the words that we listen to, the podcasts that we download, what we take into ourselves in terms of the words that we imbibe, we become that too. And unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. As the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. And so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not the manna bread that the fathers ate in Moses' day in the wilderness. For they all still died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. And so as we come to the table this morning, May we remember that our need to eat and drink has truly, ultimately, and always been provided by God to teach us our dependence upon Him. What we eat and drink at this table this morning could never have been provided by human hands. It is truly the work, the blessing, and the provision of God. And God still at this very table teaches us our ultimate dependence upon Him. Our life is not sustained within ourselves by our own will and our own power. And this journey that we are on as the people of God today, as we gather at this table, it reminds us that this is a rest stop on the longer journey. Week by week, we pull off the road of life for a few minutes to gather around this table to refresh and restore ourselves. That this table that we now gather at is the ultimate and final answer to ancient Israel's perpetual question. Yes, God can prepare a table in the wilderness, even the wilderness of a fallen world that we still live in. And whatever other burdens you may be carrying on the journey through life, when you come to this table, week by week, and even this very morning, you find strength for the journey. At this table, you hear true words that you can live by. At this table, you were reminded by what you really live, the Word of God itself, the Word of God that became flesh and dwelt among us, the Word of God that then provided in His own sacrificial death, the broken body, the shed blood, that purges your true problem, sin, and restores you to the eternal life beyond this age of wilderness and pilgrimage, so that you too can find rest in the promised land that awaits at the end of the road of life. And so as we gather at this table, set in the wilderness of this world this morning, let us eat and drink life in the midst of death, hope in the midst of sorrow. Let us eat true food, drink true drink, even as we remember true words, do this in remembrance of me. And in so doing, may we give thanks to God in Christ as we gather at the table of the Lord in the wilderness.